Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
So a new hope. And we've discussed several things. I'm going to touch on those a little later, but about what hope we have in the second coming of Christ, just compared to the, usually we look at the first coming of Jesus' birth. In this Advent, we're looking at the second coming and what hope is there. And I'm going to be talking about the fact that we have a hope that every wrong will be made right. Every wrong will be made right. So what is wrong that needs to be made right? So that's where I'm going to start, discussing what's wrong. Then we're going to share about what hope we can have. At the end, I'm going to ask each of you, we're going to be sharing, just to prepare you, share with one other person an area of your life where maybe you need more hope. But so what is this hope? What is wrong that we even need hope? What is wrong? I almost hate to bring us in this season to this point, but it's the reality. You know, 1 out of every 5 people in the U.S. has been sexually abused. 1 out of every 6 has struggled, had a problem with substance abuse. We have governments that in recent history have starved their own people, causing as many as 6 million people to die. We have mental illness that ranges from depression to psychopaths that has an effect on our families and communities. We have a 40 to 50% divorce rate in this country. I tell you, in preparing this message, I've actually been emotionally overwhelmed by the amount of wrong and suffering that goes on in our families and communities. I could go on and on and on. This list is nowhere near what I could lay out a foundation to say, why do we need hope? I don't know of a single family that doesn't have suffering going on in it somewhere. It may not be that particular person, but I can point to every family that could say, yes, there's suffering going on in my family. There's a reason why I need hope. There's a reason why my family needs hope. Each and every family here. On that hope, though, I want to rekindle your hope. I don't just want to leave you hanging there going, okay, the world I live in is actually probably more horrible than I realize. And I think some of that's through God's grace. There's a certain amount of God's grace that sort of blinds us from the reality of how bad our world is. But I want to rekindle your hope today. And what do we actually have hope in? But first, let's look, why do we need hope? And I have 2 quick stories to share. Both of them have to do with sort of wilderness survival. I've had 2 experiences where I've had to go into survival mode. I'll tell you the first one, and this is both of these are very shortened versions, otherwise this would be long, but this one has a little, if you ever want to ask me about it later, I could give you the half-hour version. There's hilarious parts about it, but my brother and I, we decided we can go snow cave camping up on Mount Hood. And we learned that when everything's white, it gets deceptive. We go only about a 3/4 mile from Timberline Lodge because we're going to go dig a snow cave. We realize, oh, there's not snow's not deep enough yet, so we're going to go and find a little valley to go. And, you know, we figure there's going to be more valley in the bottom of the snow, at the bottom of the valley. And so we come up and we go, oh, yeah, look, this looks like a good valley, about 150, 200 feet down. And so my brother just grabs his backpack and throws it down. And we watch it tumble and tumble and tumble. It gets smaller and smaller, smaller. It gets to the point we can't even see it tumbling anymore. This, what we thought was 150, 200 feet, was probably more like 1,500 foot deep little valley because everything's white. You can't quite tell. So we go down there. There's other things along with it, but we go down there. We dig our snow cave. We stay there. Then we go to get out, and we start climbing up, and we can't. The snow just keeps coming down. As we go up, all of a sudden we gain 100 feet. We fall back 75. We get 200 feet. We fall back to the bottom. And this is even with, we have ice axes and cramp. We came prepared for the mountain, but that was for ice. We were just dealing with snow that kept falling. And it got to the point where we were wondering, was there hope? We're only 3/4 mile from Timberline Lodge, but because all we're doing is snow cave camping, we let no one, not even my, no one knew. We didn't tell any friends, anyone that we were even going camping. We just decided to go. No one knew. No one, there weren't any ski paths going through there. Nothing was there. We had enough food for a few days. We probably could have survived easily for a couple weeks. But the reality is, if we didn't get out, if we didn't find a way up that snowbank that we couldn't get up, we were going to die. No one was going to find us. No one knew we were gone. Even when people realized we were gone, they're going to have no idea where. That we, Mount Hood of all places, you know, why would they even be there? There wasn't hope. There was a fear that set in. There was a fear that set in. And then, even though we dealt with it properly, both of us, we started to have some hypothermia set in, so we did the right things. We dealt with it, but still, there were things going on. We weren't sure if we were going to make it out. Another story, though. I'm in Minnesota Northwoods. We're with my mom, my brother's sister, and my uncle, who at that time was only a couple of years older than me. He's like 16, I think. And we're going to church, and my grandpa lives out in the middle of nowhere. And we go to church, and on the way back, he says, why don't we take this shortcut, you know, through the woods, all logging roads and stuff. And we go through there, and finally we decide, oh, something happens. I can't remember why now. It was so many years ago. But for some reason, we decided, oh, we're not going to go this way. In the process of turning around, the car gets stuck. And again, we're out in the middle of nowhere. We're actually farther, we're probably 30, 40 miles from even the nearest house. But there is a highway only 5 miles away. Very unused highway, but still, there's a highway 5 miles away. My mom, for whatever reason, happened to have in her purse a book that talked about edible wild foods. Guess what? I found out there's all types of things you can eat. We weren't going without food. We found fresh water. We had other things. We even found a, which by the way, find out this actually isn't that bad as you might think, but we found a big anthill for sugar ants. And that sugar ants are pretty tasty. I just have to tell you. Stick a stick in there and eat them off stick. They're pretty tasty. But again, I get distracted with all the stories from these things, but the point is we had hope. We had a CB. All it was going to take was for someone else to drive down the road, someone to drive within, even down that other highway. Everyone up there had CBs. There was a hope. We were there for 3 days before someone came upon us. But there was a hope. We knew that we knew the way out. We knew we could get out. If need be, we could have hiked out to somewhere. There was a hope. Two different stories. One without hope, one with hope. And guess which one we were in a better state of mind with? Where we had hope. Where we had hope. There was something, we had something to look forward to. It was more miserable I'll tell you, with the one that where we didn't have hope, there were mosquitoes up there in northern Minnesota, horrible mosquitoes. We were getting bit like crazy. The food that we were finding really didn't taste that good. When I was on the mountain, we had nice freeze-dried, we were eating lasagna and all types of other stuff. But, yeah, you know, all types of other things. The conditions were actually better up there, but there wasn't hope. There wasn't hope. So it's important to have hope, is really what I'm getting at. Sometimes that's what gets us through. Even when none of the circumstances don't change, as much as we preach about all these things, sometimes they don't always change. But what gets us through? The hope. And I want to rekindle that hope. I want to rekindle that hope. But what can we have hope in? Revelations 21, I think, gives us some great ideas. I believe that one of the biggest things that we can have hope that will be made right is that the wrong, the original wrong of the original sin can be made right. And if you look at Revelations 21, it says, I heard a shout, 21:3, I heard a shout, a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. And they will be his people. God himself will be with them. Most of this talks about a new thing. I actually think that this is more referring to an original thing. Because when we look back at the Garden of Eden, they were together. They were together. That there was fellowship that went on there, and it was broken through sin. And so I think we see that. Charles Spurgeon writes, I do not think the glory of Eden lay in its grassy walks, or the boughs bending with luscious fruit, but its glory lay in this, that the Lord God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Here was Adam and Eve's highest privilege, that they had companionship with the Most High. We can have a hope that we're going to be in constant fellowship and the constant presence of God. We can have a hope in that, no matter how tough things get. We can have a hope that we one day will have that constant sense of being with God. We can have a restoration of what was lost in the Garden of Eden. And I think there's some other things that we can look at if we go to the Garden of Eden that we can have a hope besides just fellowship with God. And we'll go into this, but this is all from Genesis 3. I think that we can have a hope and struggle in relationships. It's one of the things that was lost, or that was not lost, but that was gained, I guess, through the curse. A struggle in relationships. We can have a hope that loving, joy-filled, empowering relationships are no longer a struggle. A struggle for power is another thing that happened. We can have a struggle when, you know, imagine at work, everyone's trying to succeed in life. Everyone's competing against each other. The struggle for power will no longer need to be there. We have a hope in that. A struggle, again, the garden, we see that there became a struggle in working to provide the necessities such as clothing, food, clothing, and shelter. We can have a hope one day that we're not ever working just to provide for our family. Now, I believe, you know, some people think all we're going to do is sit around and eat grapes and that. I actually believe that we're probably still going to be working. We're still going to have somewhat lives. It's a whole other conversation, but I think often we get a misguided perception of that. But I think that whatever we do is going to bring us joy and life, and it's not going to be just to bring food to the table. It's going to be because it's empowering to us. And then also, which leads us back to the scripture in Revelations, I think that we see that there began a struggle with pain. But in verse 4 back in Revelations, it says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. Hmm. Because there's been tears that have been cried by parents that watch their children suffer. By victims of abuse. Tears that have been cried by those people who are in constant pain. Tears who know that life should be easier than it is. Every day there's people suffering from these things. And I just want to tell you, it's a reality that many of you know, and I even shared part of it with one thing just recently, but I had an older sister who died when I was 7. Or when she was 7, I was 5. Now 40 some years later, and actually pretty much 40 years later now. There's something in me, I was young, but so I watched my parents. There's something there. There's a suffering there. There's something that's lost. It's not right. I would even say, I don't think it's even right when a parent loses a child. My wife even mentioned something. It was just yesterday. Mentioned something about my older sister, and immediately tears came to my mom's eyes. Do we have a need for hope? I think we do. Do we have a need for hope that one day that pain that some of us experience, the pain that maybe my parents experience, will be wiped away? Will no longer need to be there? The pain that many of us have over loss of loved ones, even if they're not our children, we have many, many, mourning's a huge thing. A hope that one day that pain, that loss, that sometimes I think even feeling that something's been taken from us, a part of us is gone. I hope that that's going to be restored. That's going to be wiped away. I'll say also, I asked my wife about this, if I could share, but my wife is in constant pain because of her knees. And we see again, it says that there's going to be no more pain, no more sorrow, crying, or pain. My wife, knees. And it was interesting as I shared about this and I read, she says, well, I read the scripture that I was going to be talking about. She says to me, she doesn't even know what it's like to be pain-free. Doesn't even know what it's like to be pain-free. I think that relates even to, may not be knee pain, but whether it's emotional pain. There's some people, I believe that there's some of you in this room that would say that about other things. Emotional pain, other things that I don't even remember what it's like to not fill in the blank. But there's a hope. There's a hope that one day we're going to have that wiped away. Amen. I know my wife, she's amen. Yeah, one day there's hope that it will be wiped away. That's the hope we can have looking to the second coming of Christ. Thing is, if we look at the end of that verse, should be up there. What does it say? The last part? All these things are gone forever. All these things are gone forever. I almost look at it as the antithesis or the opposite of what my wife shared. My wife doesn't remember what it's like to be pain-free. But I really think, and I think there's even some stuff alluded to here in the scripture when we look at it, that we might not even remember what it's going to be so glorious that we might not even remember what it's like to feel pain. Sort of, here we go. Do I feel a few amens? That we might not, it might be so glorious that we might not even remember what it's like to not feel, to feel pain, to feel sorrow, to feel all those things. All these things are gone forever. Again, just, I've jumped ahead a little bit here, but there is one commentary that I read that actually says that the language could even mean forgotten. Could even mean forgotten. That all those things are forgotten. not just wiped away, but forgotten. So we have a hope, I believe, that is so wonderful and powerful that we can't even comprehend what it was like before. That's what we have to hope in. That's what we have to hope in. Not only is every wrong going to be made right, but everything will be made new. If we look at verse 5. Everything is going to be made new. Not fixed. Made new as if it never happened. It'd be like right now both of our cars that my wife and I own are over 20 years old. So we get in a wreck. We get a dent in the door. Someone runs into us. I was driving borrowed Kelly's van for the eclipse, and someone hit us. I still feel sort of bad. Got a dent in the door. It's still drivable, but the reality is it's almost like that dent that's still workable. Kelly's driving it. He didn't get it fixed. If one of that dents were to happen, all of a sudden the insurance company of GOD provides us with a brand new car, not a 20-year-old car, but a brand new car. All things are going to be made new. All things are going to be made new. Not just fixed, but made new. And again, this is part of why that one commentator says it's almost like forgotten. Almost because it's not fixed, it's new. Your life, your emotional state, your pain, your ailments, your addictions, your besetting sins, all these things, you're going to be made new. Be made new. I almost am at a loss for words when you really look at what is described, even though I think a lot of people have a wrong perception of it. Again, like I do think that we're still going to be working, having jobs, different things, tasks given by God, but not just sitting around eating, being fed grapes by angels, but the thing is that I don't think we can even imagine. That's how great this hope is. It's beyond what we can imagine. Verses 6 through 7 here. This is powerful. But it is finished. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. I just want to say that this here, this whole thing, it's final. It's absolute. It will happen. I took out a verse just because it gets to be big on the PowerPoint, but it's saying, I tell you the truth, this will happen. It will happen. This is final, absolute. We will have every wrong made right and more. We will have constant fellowship with God beyond what we can imagine. We will have access to the water of life. We will be children of God. We will be children of God. Tell you, if you're sitting here today, hopeless, we have a hope. We have so many things to be hopeless about, I think more than we even realize. That's one of the powerful things, I think, that gets us through, really. If we don't have a hope, something to look forward to, we often just get side, just going. Because we're going to have a couple other things, my message is intentionally shorter today, but we're not quite done, but someone could probably go round up the kids. But I want to just touch on this part too. It's not the main point of the message, because I think we could say, don't we have access to some of these right now? Don't we have access? Isn't there healing? Isn't there some of these other things? Don't we have the presence of God with us now? I'd say absolutely yes. But it's still in a limited sense. And that's a whole other probably sermon series rather than even a sermon. So I'm not going to really get into all the intricacies of that. But yes, we do. But it's in a limited sense. We see God heal some, but guess what? I'll die. I'll still die. We see some people who find immediate deliverance and others who don't. But we all still struggle with the temptation and consequences of sin. And I do want to encourage you today that if life seems so overwhelming today that you don't know what to do, there's some of this. God doesn't want you to stay in that place, even today. You don't have to wait until the second coming of Christ to have some sense of that hope come. You don't have to wait to the second coming of Christ for there to be some sense of hope. And even as Evan and Stephanie talked about different things, we don't have to wait for peace, as Stephanie talked about. We don't have to wait for, we may not experience that total peace that we will one day, but there's a peace. Jesus says, my peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Actually, I think it's the opposite way around. But anyway, there is a peace that we have now. There is as far as creation, there is a certain amount and even responsibility with creation that we have now. So I don't want you to just leave as much as heaviness I sort of intentionally started with. I don't want you to think, oh, I have to wait to the end to have any answer. No, there is something today. There is something today. And for those today, I do want to pray for you. But I just want to say, is there anyone who feels overwhelmed? And here in a minute, I'm going to ask for hands. We're not going to have an altar call. I just want to see people say yes. But you say this, but that you're overwhelmed by the fallen world. And you need your hope rekindled. Do you just need hope in general? Which Kelly sort of touched on at the beginning of this. Do you need a sense of peace to come back over you? Again, as Stephanie talked about. Does the state of the world or creation have you overwhelmed or concerned? Are there things that have happened to you that are wrong and leave you in a state of sorrow, crying, or pain? Is there anyone who'd say, yes, I have some of those? We're just going to... Amen. Just in closing, I want to pray for you, for those of you who are having struggles with that. And then just sort of put it out there, we're going to go and have going to do the Advent devotional. And then after that, I said I'd have you share. I just want everyone to share with somebody. I'll give a little more direction then, but just share some area where you need hope in your life. But let's pray. Lord, I pray for those people who need hope today. Those people who need hope. I know there's people out here probably hoping for their children who are struggling, who are unsaved, who suffer because even if it's their own bad choices. Lord, I pray for those who struggle with pain, Lord, even right now, that you would bring a healing right now upon them. Lord, I pray for those who struggle with mental illness, Lord, that you would bring a healing balm, a healing into their mind, Lord, a peace, Lord, a sense of wholeness into their lives. Lord, I pray for those who maybe just feel hopelessness in general. Lord, that this season that they would say, I have a hope There's a hope I see. I see a hope in Jesus. I see a hope in Jesus. Lord, I just pray right now that you'd come by your Spirit and move upon each and every one who raised their hands. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.